Well, hello. Hope you all are having a good day today. I want to start a Bible study series here as we walk through a book of the Bible together. Just to give you guys, I know we've kind of done this a little bit in the past with some different devotion videos and things like that. But one thing I'd like to do is actually walk through a book of the Bible. And I'm actually going to pick a short one to start off with, and that's the book of Philemon. One of the shortest books in the in the New Testament. It's a letter that Paul wrote, and it's intensely personal about one specific situation. But I love this book because it really talks about how what we say we believe should cause us to change how we are in relationships with others. It should, what we say we believe should change how we relate to each other. That's the main idea that this whole series is going to be about. This idea that the gospel changed our relationship with God, so it should also change our relationships with each other. Because there seems to sometimes be this disconnect that following Jesus just means I have a new belief system, but it doesn't always inform the way we live and the way we love others and the way we serve others and the way we care for others. And you can see this in society. Just in 1994, Rwanda, the African country of Rwanda, had this great genocide. There were three ethnic groups. There was the Hutu, the Tutsi, and the Tiwa. And in just a span of 3 months, almost 1 million Tutsi people were killed by their own people, by those other two ethnic groups, simply because they were different and they looked down upon them. Now, that may seem, you'd think, well, in African countries, that kind of stuff happens. It happens all over the world. But the crazy thing is that over 90% of Rwanda is Christian, or would say they're Christian. So 90% of the people would say, I follow Jesus, I identify with Jesus, I love Jesus, and yet they can turn around and kill people just because they're a different ethnicity or a different group than them. That doesn't make sense, does it? But yet we can even live our lives and say, well, you know, I love Jesus, but I don't like this person because of what they look like or where they come from or who their parents were or, you know, who they vote for. Like, we can start to divide and say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't like this person, or I don't have to love them, or I don't have to serve them. I can look down upon them. And so we have to make sure that we're not judging people based on our prejudices and just the things that we don't like, but instead saying, all right, if God loves them, then I should love them as well. And this book is going to show us a lot about that, because it's a very specific situation. And so that's what walking through this will hopefully help you and help me as we see how God wants us to really relate to each other. So this book, just to give a little bit of historical context here, it's called The Letter to Philemon, and Philemon is probably a pretty wealthy man. He lived in Colossae, and he was a believer. Paul led him to Christ somewhere along the line, and so he's now a believer. He's hosting a church in his home, like he's following Jesus. He says he loves Jesus, and so Paul is now writing a letter to him because a man by the name of Onesimus came to visit Paul. And he served Paul. Paul must have led him to Christ. And then he stayed and served Paul while Paul was now in house arrest. But here's the problem with it. That's great, but here's the problem. Onesimus is a slave, and he belongs to someone else, namely Philemon. So now Onesimus is there serving Paul, and Paul says, now it's time for you to go back and deal with whatever's happened between you and Philemon. And so Paul writes this letter to Philemon, and he sends it back with Onesimus to go back to him now. And Paul is going to put his friendship on the line with Philemon and ask for him to forgive Onesimus. Now, there's a little bit of this backstory we don't know. We don't know why Onesimus left. Some people just say he fled. Some just say he just, you know, he's a runaway slave, and he somehow found Paul, and Paul led him to Christ, and then, you know, he stayed there and served with him. Others say maybe there was some sort of conflict that happened in their house, and Onesimus specifically sought out Paul for his help. Others say maybe he stole something. Maybe Onesimus stole something and then fled. We don't know for sure, because Paul doesn't specifically tell us, Because remember, he's writing this letter to Philemon. He doesn't have to hash out what happened. They already know what's happened. Paul's just going to get to the heart of the issue. Okay, so we have to kind of do what's called mirror reading to try to figure out maybe what's going on because of what Paul said. And we'll get into that more as we go. But that's kind of the historical background now of where we're picking this up and what we need to see. Now, the first part that I want us to see today in this video is that the gospel changes how we relate to each other. How we relate to each other. And so now let's dive into it. Hopefully you've got your device out or your Bible and you can follow along with it. We're just going to do the first three verses today. So notice what it says. It says, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apha, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. So a couple things we need to see right here. If we notice that Paul, as he usually does, he begins the letter by signing his name with he's the first one that's mentioned because he's the writer. And it says Paul, but notice it doesn't say an apostle, it says a prisoner for Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. He doesn't appeal to apostle. He doesn't come in here high and mighty and saying, Philemon, you have to listen to me because I'm an apostle and you better get under my authority. No. He's actually lowering himself and saying, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. He's saying, I'm a slave myself. I'm in bondage myself before Christ Jesus. So he's actually lowering himself and humbling himself, not coming here saying, you have to listen to me, but no, he's humbling himself and saying, I'm a prisoner for Christ Jesus. And Timothy, our brother, Timothy, who helped care for him. And of course, Paul wrote letters to him to encourage and help him. And then he's writing now to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker. See, we see that they knew each other and they worked together side by side in ministry. And Apha, our sister, most scholars believe that's probably Philemon's wife. And Archippus, our fellow soldier, that's probably his son. And then notice it says, and the church in your house. Now, we wouldn't like this today. But Paul is writing this letter to Philemon. Yes, it is to them. But notice Paul also says to your wife, to your son, and to the church in your house. So most likely, when Onesimus brings this letter back, it's probably been delivered to Philemon, but maybe even to the pastor. And the pastor is now going to read this letter to the entire church. This is a private matter, yes, between Onesimus and Philemon. But here's the thing we have to understand. As far as to Paul and probably and to God himself, most likely, this is not just a one-on-one relationship. It's affecting their family. That's why it includes his wife and his son. And it includes the church. Because when there's division, when there's a problem... when there's conflict, that's the word I was looking for. When there's conflict, it affects other people. It's never just between person A and person B. If I have conflict with my family, with my biological family, don't say I do. But if I have conflict there, it's going to affect my wife. It's going to affect my daughter. If I have conflict at work, it's going to affect my wife. It's going to affect my daughter. If she has conflict at work, it's going to affect me. It's never, we like to think that when there's conflict, it's just between me and that person. But what Paul is showing here is know that how we relate to each other, we're a family. And if there's two people that are having conflict, it's going to affect other people. It's going to affect their family. And if it's happening in the church, it's going to affect the church. There's going to be people picking sides. There's going to be people that are, their minds might be poisoned if we say negative things, if we start putting people down. And so we see that God makes us a family. We talk about that in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, hey, the church is a body. All the believers are a body. And so what we see here, Paul, even in his introduction, we see that the gospel has changed how we relate to each other. We are a family. Notice he says our fellow worker, our beloved fellow worker. We are in this together. Apha is our sister. Archippus is our fellow soldier. He's including everybody in this. And so we can see that God has made us into a family. And this is completely foreign in our culture today because we love to be isolated. We love to have unspoken prayer requests. We tell people, you know, hey, don't talk about this. Don't tell anybody about this. I don't want to make a big deal about it. And sometimes that's true. Like, I get that. There's things sometimes that we don't want to just put out there. But we also have to understand that we are a part of a family. And if somebody's hurting, if there's conflict between someone, it affects everybody. And so the thing that we don't need to do in our 21st century is to isolate ourselves. I talked a lot about this on Sunday. We have to be part of the body. We have to be part of the family of God because God saves us from our individualistic lives and puts us in his family. And that's an awesome thing. And yes, sometimes that means it's messy. Yes, that means sometimes you have to open yourself up to other people. Yes, that means you have to help people carry your burdens. But the awesome thing is that God makes us part of a family so that we have those people to help us. Because he doesn't want us to be island Christians. He doesn't want us to be isolated away from each other. And guys can be the worst at this. And I say that as a male myself. We like to think we've got everything put together and we don't want to let anybody know that we don't. Because if I let you know that I don't have everything together and I don't have all the answers and I'm not keeping everything together, then that somehow makes me weak and makes me less of a man. And so we have to be able to admit, hey, I don't have it all together. And that's okay. I need your help. Pray for me. Encourage me. Give me wisdom when I need it. That's okay. And so guys have this kind of masculinity that sometimes it's hard for us to admit when we need help or when we don't have it all together or when there's conflict with someone. Sometimes we can try to avoid it when really we just need help to try to work through it. But let's be honest, for females, it can be a problem as well. Because even today, you're expected to work a job, have your family together, have a perfect marriage, and be successful and all this stuff and never let them see you sweat, right? And so you can have this idea that if I don't have it all together, then there's going to be other women who are going to look down on me. But if we're a family, that's what we're should do is to help each other, to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to carry burdens. You know, that's what God has called us to do to each other. And that's why he's made us a part of a family. And so we have to understand that God is, this is a gift that he has given us. And that's what Paul is saying very upfront here to them, is that we're in this together and we're going to work through this together. That's what I love, is that what he's saying to them is he's saying, we're going to work through this together. And then look at verse 3. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's how we're going to work together, is because God is our Father and Jesus is our Lord. So if we're part of a family, then we get to serve our good Father, God, and we have our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we should humble ourselves before him. And we're thankful that we're part of a family. We work together and we fight together for what's right. And we all do it under our loving Father who loved us enough to give Jesus for us. And we're under our Lord Jesus Christ who gave his life for us. And so I get what you might be thinking now, like if I let my guard down, what's going to happen? Like, what if that person shares, this secret and it gets out and all that? But here's the thing. What are you carrying because you're afraid to let that guard down? What are you holding on to and you're trying to carry yourself? And God is saying, I've given you a family so that you can, so that you don't have to carry that by yourself. See, not having someone that you can call and be real with actually probably says more about you than you not having, not trusting someone. See, if you're trying to be an island, that says way more about you than not having anybody that you can trust. Because if you have been working on those relationships and being part of a family, then you know who you can trust. And you've got those people there. I'm not saying you give out everything, but I'm saying if you're really engaged in the body of Christ, like we talked about on Sunday, and you're really trying to be a family, then you know who you can trust. But God has given them there to help you. And that's an awesome thing. That's an awesome, awesome thing. So don't forsake that. Don't try to avoid that. But rather, thank God for the believers, the family of believers, the body of Christ that he's given you. And then pray for him to help you know how to engage with them, how to share with them, how to trust them. Help him let you see who you can trust, who can be that person for you. Because God has made us, has changed us now so that we relate to each other as a family. And that's what Paul is building up here, is this whole letter comes because he's like, we're a family. We're going to work through this together. And that's what God has made us a part of as well. So don't forsake that. Don't avoid that. Maybe today you need to ask God and say, give me eyes to see who is around me that I can trust, and help me to lower my guard with them. Help me to trust them. Help me to be there for them. Help me reach out to them when I need it. Help me be able to say I'm not okay. And then I'll ask God to help them help you. And then likewise, that you can help them and encourage them in the Lord when they need it as well. Because God has changed how we relate to him. So he's changed how we relate to him. And the first way that we see that here in Philemon is that God has made us a part of a family. So thank God today for the family of believers that he's put in your life. And then ask God to help you be a good family member to those as well. God bless you. We'll see you again on Thursday.